हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा डियर डिवोटीज, यू आर वेलकम फॉर कंटिन्यूटी ऑफ अवर भक्ति वे ऑफ सेकंड कैंटो ऑफ श्रीमद् भागवतम सेकंड चैप्टर मेडिटेटिंग ऑन द सुपर सोल विद इन द हार्ट। एंड वी आर इन अ सेक्शन फोर, the practice and process of liberation of Paramatma meditator, the practice and process of liberation. of Paramatma meditator. So this section is from verse number 15 to 21. We are starting the verse number 16. Manaswa buddhya malaya nyamya kshetragya etam niniyetatam atmani atmanam atmane avarudhya dhiro लबधो उपशांतिरा व्रमेत क्रिया। ही मर्जिस द माइंड माइंड नियम्य इन टू द प्योर इंटेलिजेंस स्वबुद्धया अमलया। अमलया मीन्स प्योर and merges niyaneta the intelligence tam atmani into the witnessing jiva kshetragya. He merges the witnessing jiva into the pure jiva, and merging the pure jiva into the brahma. Etan atmanam atmane avarodhya. Having done so, the yogi dhira, attaining cessation of material life, labdha upashanti, withdraw from all action, varmeta kriya. Well, this is the translation by Vishnu Chakravarti Pad, so we'll see Srila Prabhupada's translation and purport. The summary of the verse is, then yogi merges his mind in the intelligence, intelligent to the jiva, and jiva into the super soul. Thus he withdraw from all material actions, and this state is called labdha upashanti. Labdha upashanti. Okay, there's a, okay. So here we are Srila Prabhupada's translation. Thereafter, the yogi should merge his mind by his unalloyed intelligence, amalam buddhaya, into the living entity, the jiva, and then merge the living entity into the super self. The word in the verse is kshetragya. And we know in Bhagavad Gita there are two kshetragya, the soul and super soul. And by doing this, the fully satisfied living entity becomes situated in supreme stage of satisfaction, labdva upashantihi, so that he ceases from all other activities. Srila Srila Prabhupada's purpose is functions of the mind are thinking, feeling, and willing. When the mind is materialistic, or absorbed in the material contact, it acts for a material advancement of knowledge. Destructively ending in discovery of nuclear weapons. But the mind acts under the spiritual urge, it acts wonderfully for going back home, back to Godhead, for life is complete, bliss and eternity. So what we can actually see in Bhagavad Gita, the mind is a friend, mind can be friend of a person, he can be his enemy. So the controlled mind is friend and uncontrolled mind is enemy. So here the mind which is uncontrolled and working for material advancement then discover the nuclear weapon. Same mind when controlled and used properly can take us back home, back to Godhead. Therefore, the mind has to be manipulated by good and unalloyed intelligence. What it means is higher than mind is intelligence. So mind should be under the guidance of the intelligence. That's a normal hierarchy. And the intelligence here is called amalam, buddhaya, which is purified intelligence. Perfect intelligence to render service unto the Lord. There is the intelligence which is really perfect and purified is to render service to the Lord. One should be intelligent enough to understand that the living being is in all circumstances a servant of the circumstances. What it means is he has to serve somebody. Either he should serve the Supreme Lord or he has to serve somebody. Because by nature, in any circumstances, in all circumstances, he has to serve. Every living being is serving the dictates of desires, anger, lust, illusion, insanity, enviousness, all materially affected. So normally, the dictates of the lust, anger, all the desires, lust, anger, illusion, anxiety, they pushes the mind for the satisfaction of the desires. But even while executing such dictation of different temperaments, he is perpetually unhappy. When one actually feels this and turns his intelligence to inquiring about it from the right source, why I am perpetually unhappy, he gets information of the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Instead of serving materially for the above mentioned different humors of the body, the living entity's intelligence then become freed from the unhappy illusion of materialistic temperament. And thus, by unaligned intelligence, the mind is brought into the service of the Lord. So what Srila Prabhupada is giving us actually the function of the mind and intelligence and how the intelligence should be purified by deliberation, by experience, and by assistance from the superior authority. And then when the intelligence is purified, then it can control the mind ultimately and on a right path. Therefore, the unalloyed intelligence, the mind are merged into the Lord. Merge into the Lord means they are meditating on the Lord or serving the Lord. And thus the living entity does not remain a seer himself, but becomes seen by the Lord transcendentally. Seer himself, generally seer of the things with his own intelligence, in his own way, he don't see, then he sees everything in relation to Supreme Lord. Or in other words, he is guided by Supreme Lord, so Supreme Lord sees, seen by the Supreme Lord means guided by Supreme Lord. When the living entity is directly seen by the Lord dictates him to him to act according to his desire, Lord's desire. What actually in our language we say, Gadami Buddhi Yogam Tam. He gives the intelligence how to go back to God. Ceases to discharge the other duty for the illusory satisfaction. In this pure annihilated state, the living being attains a stage of full bliss, labdo upashanti, and ceases all material hankerings. So basically this verse is a yogi's, verse of the yogi, yoga verse. Yogi has to do. Srila Prabhupada has actually gave us the same practice for the devotee. Nayatra kalo animisham parha prabho kutono deva gatatam jagatam yaishare nayatra sattvam narajastamacha na vai vikaro na mahan pradhanam. Now that stage, labda upashanti, at that stage there is no, in that transcendent state, that is labdo upashanti, there is no supremacy of divesting time. So he is beyond the influence of time. Won't control even the celestial demigods who are empowered to rule over mundane creatures. And what to speak of demigods themselves? Nor is there mode of material goodness, nor passion, nor ignorance, nor even the false ego, nor material casual ocean. The word here is pradhan. Mahan, Prabhupada translates mahan as a casual ocean and pradhan is material nature. Nor material nature. So Chakraparti Pad has taken this as, in this person, means the person who has perfected yoga in a labdo upshanti state, time, the control of devatas, has no influence. So he is free from the influence of time. What influence can the devata who control the material realm have over him? It means he has no more control of the demigods, usually deva. In him there is no sattva, raja, tama, no false ego. Mahan, Chakravarti Pad is taking as a false ego, Srila Prabhupada is taking casual ocean. No mahatattva and no prakriti. So no one can disturb this person when he has attained Brahma as his swarupa. Time which is superior parha to the devatas animishan has no influence na prabhu. How then can devatas who control the material world influence him? What is the nature of Brahma? In that state of Brahma there is no guna, no false ego, no vikar, nothing. Now Srila Prabhupada's purport.
Prabhuji, can we say this is like similar to Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma?
For us it is okay. For us it is Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. And the yogis is like Brahma realized that he is in a perfect stage. In one way Brahma realized person. Devastating time which control even the celestial demigods by its manifestation of past, present and future does not act on the transcendental plane. The influence of time is exhibited by symptom of birth, death, old age and disease. And these four principles of material condition are present everywhere in any part of the material cosmos up to the planet of Brahmaloka, where the duration of life is of the inhabitant appears to us to be fabulous. Insurmountable time even brings about the death of Brahma. So this time is so powerful, it brings the death of Brahma. So what to speak of other demigods like Indra, Chandra, Surya, Vayu and Varuna? The astronomical influence directed by different, this is what the astrology is. Astronomical influence directed by the different demigods over mundane creatures is also conspicuous by its absence. So no effect of the stars. In material existence, the living entity is afraid of satanic influences. But for the devotee on the transcendental plane, there is no such fear at all. Living entities change their material bodies in different shapes and form under the influence of different modes of material nature. But in transcendental state of devotee state, the devotee is guna atita. Guna atita means beyond three modes of material nature. Thus the false ego of I am the Lord of all I serve does not arise there. In the material world, the false ego of living being trying to lord it over the material nature is something like moths falling in blazing fire, analogy. The moth is captivated by glaring beauty of the fire, and when he comes to enjoy it, the blazing fire consumes him. So false ego is like the moth which want to lord over the material nature, and material nature consume means he is defeated by the repeated birth and death. In the transcendental state, the living being is pure in his consciousness, and as such he has no false ego to lord it over the material nature. Rather, his pure consciousness directs him to surrender to the Supreme Lord, as stated in Bhagavad Gita. So Srila Prabhupada is quoting this verse because mostly the path taken by path of the yoga is taken by the jnanis after they surpass the stage of jnana yoga. So Prabhupada is saying these jnanis ultimately Vasudev Saramiti sa Mahatma sa Durlabha take many lifetime for him actually to practice the jnana, which is extended into the yoga even. All this indicate that in the transcendental state there is neither material creation nor casual ocean nor material nature.
Prabhu?
Yes?
I have a question. Is a karma yogi also able to come to the platform of Vasudeva Sabramiti?
No. Karma yogi is no. Karma yogi has to advance further. In our Bhagavad Gita, generally, Srila Prabhupada used the Nishkam Karma Yogi equivalent to the devotional service. But technically speaking, Karma Yogi is of two types. Sakama Karma Yogi, his destination is more or less to enjoy the material fruits of the action. Nishkama Karma Yogi, he has to advance further by the knowledge and renunciation to the Jnana Yoga, because this is step by step progress. As such, Karma Yogi has no any such specific result. He has to advance. Karma Yoga is to purify the heart as such, which is pre-requirement for advancement to the Jnana Yoga.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, but the Karma Yogi, if come in contact with the devotees and directly start practicing Bhakti Yoga, then he can bypass the Jnana and Dhyana or meditation, and he can directly go to the Bhakti Yoga and perfection. That is possible. But as such, alone Karma Yoga is a step. After that, he has to reach to the other step of Jnana to realize the soul then he has to come to the dhyana to realize the super soul. So karma yoga is actually preparatory stage for purification of the heart. Itself it has no destination. Okay. The above mentioned state of affair is factual on the transcendental plane, but is factually revealed in the transcendental's knowledge of the advanced state of pure consciousness.
Thanks.
Such a transcendentalist are of two types, namely the impersonalist and the devotees. So what is written is, there is a state, factual transcendental plane, Brahma-bhuta we can say, but factually revealed in the transcendental knowledge of the transcendental state of pure consciousness. It means when the yogi is living, he reached to that consciousness of Brahma-bhuta. And such a transcendental of two type, impersonalist, also they can reach to the Brahma-bhuta, and the devotees. For the impersonalist, the ultimate goal or destination is the Brahma-jyoti of the spiritual sky. But for the devotee, the ultimate goal is the Vaikuntha planets. The devotee experiences the above mentioned state of affairs by attaining the spiritual forms. Now this is a very important line to remember. Very subtle thing. The devotees experience the above mentioned state of affairs by attainment of spiritual forms. For activity in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, but the impersonalist, because of his neglecting the association of the Lord, does not develop the spiritual body for spiritual activity, but remain a spiritual spark only, merged in the effulgent spiritual rays of Supreme Personality of the Godhead. So what actually is understood, that the spiritual spark as such, it is in our heart right now as our identity. When it reaches to the spiritual planet, Goloka or Vaikuntha, then it evolves its own spiritual body. And that body has everything to render service to the Supreme Lord. But the jnanis and yogis who want to merge in the Brahma, they never evolve to the bodily concept, because they want to merge, so they still remain as a spark only. It's never evolved into the body. And then Srila Prabhupada gives the proof. The Lord is the full-fledged form of eternal bliss and knowledge, but the formless Brahma-jyoti is simply eternity and knowledge. There is no bliss there. The Vaikuntha planets are also form of eternity, bliss and knowledge. And therefore the devotee of Lord who are admitted into the abode of the Lord also get bodies of eternal bliss and knowledge. As such, there is no difference between one and another. The Lord's abode, name, fame, entourage, etc., all same transcendental quality. And how this transcendental quality differs from the material world is explained here with in this verse. In the Bhagavad Gita, three principal subjects have been explained by Lord Sri Krishna, namely Karma Yoga, Jnana Yoga and Bhakti Yoga. But one can reach the Vaikuntha planet by practice of Bhakti Yoga only. The other two are incompetent to helping one to reach the Vaikuntha Loka, although they can, however, conveniently take one to the effulgent Brahma Jyoti as described above. Okay.
Maharaj, I have a question over here.
Yes.
You said right now, like it's written that there is no difference between the Lord's name and entourage or the thing. So isn't it something like merging in the...
No. What it means that in the spiritual world, the abode is also Satchit Anand. The person who reach, he will get the body which is Satchit Anand. The holy name is non-different, so they are non-different in their constituent. They all are Satchitananda. It's not that they merge there, but they all have a same a constitution. It's not merging actually, because in Vaikunth there is no merging. Now, based on this verse, because there are two words in this verse, the karma and deva. There is no influence of karma, and then there is no influence of the deva, which are under the influence of the kala. So, these are a couple of verses which are quoted to support this from the Bhagavatam. Now, is this screen with you? Portfolio number one, karma sachiva. This is a verse from 3rd canto Srimad Bhagavatam, 29th chapter, 37th verse. I am astonishing time. Kapil Dev is saying to Mother Devati, Deviam Kala, the cause of the transformation, formation of material objects, Rupa Bheda, like birth, old age, disease, what Prabhupada writes, from which fear arises, because the change occurs, therefore fear arises, Yato Bhayam. For living being with material bodies in ignorance. So this is called the how, if the person is not to the transcendental platform, then he under the influence of the karma. Next verse is our same karma sachiva from 3:27:16. Yes.
May I ask a question for you?
What is your question?
My question is to you, the karma, yogi is attached to the karma and his destination also the Brahma Jyoti. Am I right or wrong?
No. Karma yogi has to advance to Jnana to reach to the Brahma Jyoti. As such, karma yogi on his own has no such destination. There is a transitory stage. He has to advance.
So what is his destination finally?
His destination is, he has to next life start further to advance in a Jnana Yoga, then he will get some destination. That Karma Yogi has no goal as such. The Jnana Yogi has a goal to realize the soul. But karma yogi has no goal as such. Karma yogi is like you are on a staircase. You are not reaching to the first floor. So you are in the middle. You have to reach to the first floor and then go further to the second floor.
Okay.
Yeah, Hare Krishna. So karma sachiva, the word used here is how the karma influence, how the time influences the activity of a human being. Time is said to be large power by which fear arises in the jiva. Having contacted prakriti, which means material nature, and being bewildered by ego, ahankar vimudasya, Kapil Dev to the Devahuti, this is what the influence of time is normally on the living entity who are not practicing like either yoga, this is yoga or devotional service, they are under the influence of the karma, time. Then deva sachiva. So karma and deva. I consider that this which is unwelcome has all been done by, to you by time. This is Bhisham Pitamaha speaking to the Maharaj Yudhishthira. Which controls the world, the time controls the world, and its protectors, the demigods, such as the wind controls the clouds. Sarvakala kritam manye bhavatam cha yad apriyam. Sapalo yadavashe loko vayur eva ghana avalihi. Now, continuing the same, Bhisham Pitamaha says, you are lamenting. where there is Yudhishthir, the son of Dharma, Bhima, holder of the clubber, Arjun, holder of the bow, Gandiva, and your friend Krishna, still you have such lamentation. O king, no one can understand the plan of Krishna. Plan of Krishna, because even those engaged in reasoning and scripture, means jnanis, vijnanasya yuktaha kavyaha api, are bewildered by that inquiry. Nobody knows what is Krishna's plan. O Master, Nath, the controller, Prabhu of the best of the Bharat lineage, Bharat Rishabha, therefore, discerning that the suffering and happiness is dependent only on Krishna in the form of time, influence of the time through the different demigods or stars. Follow him, follow Krishna, and protect the helpless citizen. So this is Bhisham Pitamaya is speaking. And same, Daiva Sachiva means influence of the time. The devotee in material world are never deprived of any enjoyment. My wheel of time does not afflict those devotees for whom I am a lover, the Atma, the son, friend, elder, companion, or worshipable deity. This is Kapil Dev is saying about the time has no influence on a devotee. Na karachan mat praha shanta rupe, na nakshati no me anminisho ledi yeti. Yesham aham priya atma sutascha sakha guru suhirdu daivam ishtan. So these are the more verses quoted to normally show that those who are not practicing the some type of devotional practice or spiritual practice, they are under the influence of the time and the stars are what is called astrology or demigods, which are controlled also by time. So one is called Karma Sachiva, one is called Deva Sachiva. Sachiva means secretary generally, which are ruling over. Now we are going to the verse number 18.
Guruji, I have a question. Can I ask?
Yes.
We saw Prabhupada was writing in the purport that those who go to Brahma Jyoti can never experience bliss. They only see, you know, the two aspects. So how can we say that they are self-realized? Because when we say self is made of Satchit Ananda. So if they are not able to feel bliss over there, if they don't have Ananda over there, then how are these people who are going there?
It's like the small children are happy with the knickers only. There's no need of the cap and the T-shirt. They are happy with the some clothes, no problem. It's like not a complete bliss, but they have something at least.
Because this is confusing, as we hear that. So I have read in Chaitanya Charitamrita somewhere. I don't remember that in Brahma Jyoti there is some bliss, but it is not.
I told earlier you there is a anand also, but that anand is not as compared to the anand of devotional service. In an act of devotion, we have this, happiness, shubhada, say happiness of the material nature, happiness of Brahma anand, and happiness of the devotion. So there is a happiness, even in this material world, there is a happiness. But the happiness of material world is a drop as compared to the happiness of the Brahma realization. And the happiness of Brahma realization is a drop as compared to the happiness of an ocean of a devotional service. So there are different levels of the happiness. So the ananda of Brahma Jyoti is a drop as compared to the ananda into the Vaikuntha of a personal service with a developed spiritual body. In other words, we are also now Satchit Ananda. Our soul is Satchit Ananda as it is now, but it has not evolved into the ananda. And that will continue in the Brahma Jyoti also. Because the evolution of the spark of the soul in a full-fledged spiritual body can only take place in the atmosphere of the spiritual world, Vaikuntha or Golok, not in the Brahma Jyoti as such. Because he don't want to have a body. This is his concept, because he is completely frustrated with the body. That is his understanding. But there is a type of one of the liberation, Sayujya Mukti. He has no material miseries. Okay. Yes.
I'm confused, Prabhuji, that Prabhupada deliberately did not mention bliss while in the purport.
Oh, it's a comparing the two. Generally, as we say, Sat-Chit-Ananda. Still, if we go according to the normal yardstick which we learnt as normally, the Brahma has Sat, Paramatma has Sat and Chit, and the Bhagavan has Sat-Chit-Ananda 3. Generally, we say like this. So, if he's only in the Brahma, then he has only the Sat, not even Chit. But since he's a yogi, he's meditating on the super soul. And then he's going to the Brahma Jyoti, so he has the two, Sat and Chit both. But still there is no Anand. You know, this is normal, our Krishna conscious understanding. Brahma realization is Sat realization. The Paramatma realization is Sat Chind realization. And Bhagavan realization is complete Satchit Ananda realization. So, on that yardstick, what Srila Prabhupada has written here, Brahman realization is Sat and Chit both, because he is going through the Ashtanga Yoga. He is going through the Paramatma realization, because this section is how to meditate on the Super Soul. So, he has achieved two perfection of Sat and Chit, not still of the real Anand, which is something like that Anand which is from the internal potency of the Lord is not available in Brahma Jyoti. This Anand aspect of Bhagavan is actually Aladini Shakti. But spiritual is spark is has its own Anand that will manifest there. And in Brahma, because there is no misery, so he has a sort of Anand. But that Anand is not of the Haladini Shakti.
Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna. Verse number 18. Paramam padam vaishnavam amananti tad yananeti neti iti atad utasishkrishyavaha visarajayadaur atmayam ananta sohirda ananya sohirda hirdaha upaguhya artha padam pade pade. The yogi desiring to give up the world, which is not Brahma. World means material world. And he used the method called neti neti. Not this, not this, not this. Thoroughly know that impersonal aspect of Vishnu. Tad param padam vaishnavam atmani. Defined as not this, by avoiding erring intelligence concerning the Lord's nature and avoiding everything not related to the Lord, while embracing at every moment the worshipable lotus feet of the Lord, with their whole heart. So such yogi perfectly understand both the impersonal and personal aspect of the Lord. He embraces the lotus feet of the Lord within his heart at every moment.
I have a question.
Yes?
I'm sorry, I missed some classes, so if you can just... this verse talks about the bhakti yogi or yogi, the one who is merging into impersonalism. Because I didn't get...
Who is speaking?
Sorry, it's Lokapavani.
Okay, Haribol, how are you? Is it okay?
Yes, it's fine, thank you.
So what we are discussing, as you are asking this question, the section is about meditating on the super soul.
Okay.
And this is the method for Ashtanga yogis, Dhyan yogis. And Srila Prabhupada, by his own causeless mercy, is simultaneously giving a parallel understanding for a devotee. The achievement what yogi achieve is available to the devotee automatically. Prabhupada, in every step he is giving us simultaneous parallel understanding. But as such, this section is Ashtang Yogi, and this section of the Ashtang Yogi who have no desire. So he is following the path, a direct path of the liberation called Sadhya Mukti. And the next section, which will start from verse number 22, that is called Krama Mukti, or step by step liberation, and that is for the Ashtang Yogis which have still desire. So this section is desireless yogi practicing meditation on the super soul through the path of Sadhya Mukti, or the direct liberation into the Brahma. Is it okay?
Yes, thank you very much.
So this verse number 18, Srila Prabhupada's translation. The transcendental desire to avoid everything godless, means material. For they know that supreme situation in which everything is related with Supreme Lord Vishnu. Therefore, a pure devotee who is in absolute harmony with the Lord does not create perplexities, but worship the lotus feet of the Lord at every moment and take them into his heart. So, this is what we have read the Chakravarti Path's translation. The yogi desiring to give up the world, which is not Brahma, means material. Thoroughly know the impersonal aspect of Vishnu as not this. By avoiding erring intelligence concerning the Lord's nature, avoiding everything not related to the Lord, while embracing at every moment the worship of the lotus feet of the Lord. Chakravarti Path has a little purport we can see. Why did the guna not exist him? Why the three modes of material nature not influence him? He is superior to Prakriti, Param. So he is beyond the three modes of material nature. He has attained the impersonal form of Vishnu, Vaishnava Padam. Now he's saying impersonal form of Vishnu means Brahma Jyoti or Brahma realization. But it's called Vaishnava Padam because this Jyoti belongs to Vishnu. That is famous. But the devotees like Narada understand this much more than the jnanis do. Desiring to give up the false world, Atatva, they know completely, no Atmani, Amananti, that Brahma which is defined as not this, Neti, What do they do to attain this? They give up the bad intelligence, dura atmayam. And Srila Prabhupada's purport on this dura atmayam is very elaborate. Bad intelligence, dura of jnanis involved in impersonal Brahma alone. How? They do not have affection for things not related to Vishnu. Ananya Sauharda. The yogis embrace the lotus feet of Vishnu, who is worthy of worship, Artha, at every moment with his heart, considering that as all in all. When the desire to realize only the Brahma aspect of the Lord, the desire to give up the Atat, means material world, everything except that. But they do not give up the visible world because it is useful for serving the Lord. Thus the world desire to give rather than give up are used. The word duratmaya means those fools who think that the body of Vishnu is material. It means Mayavadis. So Srila Prabhupada's purport now, this is just words explained by Chakravarti Pad. In Bhagavad Gita, Madhyam, my abode, is mentioned several times. According to the version of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, there exists unlimited spiritual sky wherein the planets are called Vaikuntha, or abode of the Personality of Godhead. And in that sky, which is far, far beyond the material sky, and its sevenfold coverings. Anybody remember what are the sevenfold coverings? We have done in the first chapter. Sevenfold coverings of a material world.
Five material elements.
Yes.
And ego and mahatattva.
Right. So, five material elements, fire, ether, water, and all this, and false ego and mahatattva, okay. And there is no need of sun or the moon, nor is there necessity of electricity for illumination, because the planets are self-illuminated and more brilliant than the material suns. Which verse is coming in your mind when we are reading this? The pure devotees of the Lord are absolutely in harmony with the personality of Godhead, or in other words, they always think of Lord as their only dependable friend and well-wisher. So are the Sarva Bhutan. They do not care for any mundane creature up to the state of Brahma, the Lord of the universe. Means they don't depend on the demigods for supply of anything. Only they can definitely have a clear vision of the Vaikuntha planet. Such pure devotees, being perfectly directed by the Supreme Lord, do not create any artificial perplexity in the matter of transcendental understanding by wasting time discussing what is Brahm and what is not Brahm, or Maya. Now, this is what they don't do. Devotees are not interested in discussing these things. What are these things? Number one, what is a Brahm and what is not Brahm? It means what is Maya and what is Brahm. Nor do they falsely think themselves as one with the Lord, that I am Brahm. No. Or argue, number three, or argue that there is no existence of the God separately, means we and God are one. Or that there is no God at all. Or that the living beings are themselves God. Or that when God incarnated himself, he assumes a material body. So all these five, six sort of thinking of the person is called the word which we have seen, durta. What is the word there? Durta. Oh. duratmayam, duratmayam. Those who think like that, they are duratmaya, duratma. Nor do they concern themselves with many obscure speculative theories which are in actuality so many stumbling blocks and path of transcendental understanding. Apart from the class of impersonalists or non-devotees, there are also class who pose themselves as devotees of the Lord, but at heart maintain the idea of salvation by becoming one with the impersonal Brahm. They wrongly manufacture their own way of devotional service by open debauchery and mislead others who are simply taunts and deepajis like themselves. All these non-devotees and deepajis are, according to Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Duratma, are crooked souls in the dress of the Mahatmas, are the great soul. Such non-devotees and debauchees are completely excluded from the list of the transcendentals by the presentation of this particular verse by Sukhdev Goswami. So before we go further, what is the only Srila Prabhupada is focusing on the one word, Duratmaya, Duratmayam. And who are Duratma? All non-devotees, materialists, mayavadis, they are all in this list. They appear that they are devotees, but they are not. So we have read the Chakravarti Pad's purport, which has one line only, mayavadi, that they think the Krishna when appear has a material body, but Srila Prabhupada has elaborated on that one same subject. Now, the comparison, so the Vaikunth planets are factually supreme residential place called Parampadam. The impersonal Brahmajyoti is also called Parampadam due to its being the rays of the Vaikunth planet, as the sun rays are the rays of the sun. In Bhagavad Gita 14:27, Brahmano hi pratishtaham amaratyasya, this is the verse. It is clearly said that the impersonal Brahma Jyoti rests on the person of the Lord, and because everything rests on the Brahma Jyoti, directly and indirectly everything is generated from the Lord. Everything rests on Him, and after annihilation, everything merges into Him only.
This will be Achinta Bheda Bheda?
Well, Achinta Bheda Bheda, yeah, this is Achinta Bheda Bheda also, because this is non-difference than the Vaikunth, because it is the light of the Vaikunth, like sunlight and sun are non-different. Yes, energy and energetic are not different.
Thank you, sir.
Therefore, nothing is independent of Him. A pure devotee of Lord no longer wastes valuable time in discriminating the Brahm from the non-Brahm, because he knows perfectly well that the Lord Param Brahm, by His Brahm energy, is interwoven in everything. And thus everything is looked upon by a devotee as property of the Lord. The devotee tries to engage everything in his service and does not create perplexity by falsely lording it over the creation of the Lord. He is so faithful that he engages himself as well as everything else in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. In everything, the devotee sees Lord and he sees everything in Lord. The specific disturbance created by the Duratma, or crooked soul, is due to his maintaining that the transcendental form of Lord is something material. So this is the how the devotee should practice meditation on the super soul. So there is the lotus feet of the super soul, as we have seen, his four-handed form, 8 inches within the region of the heart, having four, the disc, the conch shell, the club, and the lotus. So his feet, and because he is meditating on the feet, because he is beginning to purify his consciousness. As the consciousness is purified, he go higher to the knees and shank and then the thighs and then goes further according to his purification of consciousness. Verse number 19. Ittam munisto prameda vyavasthito vijnana dragavirya son surandita shayaha swaparshani papida gudam tato anilam sthaneshu satashu anamyeti jitak kalmasha. Now the process how he meditate or how he leave the body by sat chakra bhedan, six circle of the air in the body. So this is the section now. By the strength of scientific knowledge, one should be well situated in absolute realization and thus be able to extinguish all material desires. One should then give up the material body by blocking the air hole through which the stool is evacuated with the heel of one's foot and by lifting the air from one place to another in six primary places. In this way, the yogi situated in Brahma, where there is no influence of time and material nature and pradhan and ego, that's what we have learned in verse number 16, having destroyed all subtle desires by strength of his vision of realization, gives up everything though it is difficult. Now pressing the Mooladhara chakra, that lowest circle, which is the evacuating opening, is called Mooladhara chakra. With his heel, without fatigue, he raises the air through six places. Itham means situated in Brahma. The word to indicate that he must make great endeavor for this compared to what will be explained later. Later means those who are having still desires. So they will only meditate on the Virat Roop and gradually go further through the step by step liberation. The subtle desires are destroyed by strength of his vision gained through realization. The method of giving up body is then described. Pressing the Mooladhara chakra with his heel, he should lead the prana means the air, through six places, the navel, heart. So number one is Mooladhara, number two is navel, number three is heart, number four is chest, number five is base of the plate, and number six is the forehead between the two eyebrows. And then it reaches to the Brahma Rudra, that is top of the head. Starting below the navel, passing the, now below the navel, passing the next, from Mooladhara he has to come to higher, and the higher than Mooladhara is Swadhisthana Chakra. One rises the air to the navel with the Manipurvak Chakra, third. Then to the heart with Anahat Chakra. And then with the chest to the Vishuddha Chakra, situated below throat. Now Srila Prabhupada's purport. There are many Duratmas who claim to have realized themselves as Brahma. As Brahma means I am Brahma. And yet are unable to conquer material desires. In Bhagavad Gita 1854, what is this verse? Is that Brahm Bhuta Prasanna Atmana Sochati Nakankshati Sam Sarveshu Bhuteshu Mad Bhaktim Labhate Pram? Is this verse? right?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay. So it is clearly explained that an absolutely self-realized soul become completely aloof from all material desires. Prasannatma, na sochati na kankshati, no desire. Material desires are based on false ego of the living being and are exhibited by his childish and useless activities to conquer the law of material nature and by his desire to lord it over the resources of the five elements. With such a mentality, one is led to believe in the strength of material science. With its discovery of atomic energy and space travel by the mechanical vehicles, and by such tiny advancement in the material science, the false egoistic tries to challenge even the strength of Supreme Lord, who can finish all man's tiny endeavor in less than a second. What do you think? What about this statement? Somebody can comment on this statement?
Very nice statement, Prabhuji. And, interestingly, Prabhupada mentioned this before he left from India, you know, before this moon travel happened.
So what? The Lord can finish all this in a moment. So great advancing country like Japan with a tsunami can be finish in a moment. Tsunami. This corona. All these things are actually a vivid proof that that by will of the Lord, the material energy can smash every endeavor and plan in a moment. The well-situated self our Brahma-realized soul perfectly understand that the Supreme Brahma, Supreme Personality of Godhead, is all-powerful Vasudev, and that he, the self-realized living being, is part and parcel of the Supreme Whole. As such, his constitutional position is to cooperate with him in all respect, in the transcendental relation to the served and servitor. Such a self-realized soul ceases to exhibit his useless activities of attempting to lord over the material nature. Being scientifically well informed, he fully engages himself in faithful devotion to the Lord. This is more like a preaching, purport preaching and a devotional attitude. The expert yogi, now Prabhupada is coming to the words, it's expert yogi who has thoroughly practiced the control of the life air by prescribed method of the yoga system, is advised to quit the body as follows. He should plug up the evacuating hole with the heel of the foot and then progressively move the air on and on to six places, the navel, abdomen, heart, chest, palate, eyebrow and cerebral pit. Controlling the life air by prescribed yogic process is mechanical, and the practice is more or less physical endeavor for spiritual perfection. It's not spiritual. In olden days, such practice was very common for the transcendentalist, for the mode of life and character in those days was favorable. But in modern days, when the influence of Kali age is so disturbing, practically everyone is untrained in this art of bodily exercise. Concentration of mind is more easily attained in these days by chanting the holy name of the Lord. The results are more effective than those derived from the inner exercise of the life here. So this is a comparison of the two. But before it was available, it means there are still some yogis, they can practice it. So we are going to the verse number 20. Further progress of from the Manipur, Madhishtan, all these chakra. Nabhyam sitam hirde adhiropyatasmad udan gato rasitam nae namunihi Tato anusandhaya dhiyaha manasvi svatalumulam shankahi niyayet. the meditative devotee should slowly push up the air, life air, from navel to the heart and from there to the chest and from there to the root of the palate. He should search out the proper place with intelligence. The yogi raises the air situated in the navel, Adhisthana Chakra and Manipur Chakra, to the heart, Anahata Chakra, and then the throat, Vishuddha Chakra, through the movement of the Udan air which flows upward. The yogi, having controlled his consciousness, searching out with intelligence, leading the air gradually to the base of the palate. Manasvi means one who has conquered the consciousness. The base of the palate indicates a place preceding actually chakra. The movement is performed slowly, shanahi, because of possibility I am going in many directions. There are six circular movement of the ear, and the intelligent bhakti yogi, Prabhupada is saying bhakti yogi, should search out these places with intelligence in the meditative mood. Among these mentioned above is the Swadhisthana Chakra, or powerhouse of life here. And above this, just below the abdomen and navel, is Manipur Chakra. When upper space is further searched out in the heart, one reaches the Anahata Chakra. And in the throat is a Vishuddha Chakra. Now is the last verse for today. Tasmad bharvor antram unmayeta nirodha sapta yanto anapeksha sitvaha muhurta ardham akunta drishti nirbhedya moradhan visarjeta param gataha. Thereafter the bhakti, why are Prabhupada writing bhakti yogi? The whole subject matter is Ashtangi yogi. Srila Prabhupada in one line said, the yoga means bhakti yoga. Actually yoga means bhakti yoga. All the other yogas are the stepping stone to reach to the bhakti yoga. So when we say word yoga, it means it is a path which is leading from the ground floor to the top floor. Or the stair which is going from ground to top is called yoga. The top is called bhakti yoga. So the whole stair is called yoga, which means bhakti yoga. But those who are at the first floor are called karma yogi, and second floor are called jnana yogi, those reach to the third floor are called dhyana yogis. But ultimately the path is called yoga, which means bhakti, because they have to reach ultimately to the bhakti. So Srila Prabhupada is using thereafter the bhakti yogi. It means even if he is a jnana yogi, even if he is a dhyana yogi, he has to come to the stage of bhakti yogi for perfection. Should push the air up between the eyebrows and then blocking the seven outlets of the life air. These are seven outlets on the face, two ears, two nostrils and mouth. Blocking the seven outlets of the air, he should maintain his aim of going back home, back to Godhead. If he is completely free from all desire for material enjoyment, he should then reach the cerebral hole and give up this material connection, having gone to the Supreme. He lead the air to the point between the eyebrow, Agya Chakra. This is an 8th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Bhravor Madhya Pranam. And blocks the seven pathways, situated there for a moment, unattached, with a clear vision, absorbed in the Brahma. He then pierces the Brahma Rundra, that is the top of the head. Give up the senses and body. So give up the subtle and gross body both. So this is as a Ashtanga yogi. Then he leads the air to the Agya Chakra between the eyebrows. He blocks the seven holes, two ears, two eyes, two nostrils and a mouth. These are the path by which the prana can exist. Being unattached, not being interested and experiencing the enjoyment of the Brahman Lok as the Karma Mukta, it means the next section. He pierces Brahma Rundra, which means top of the head, and gives up the body, grass, and senses settle. Somebody you can read the Srila Prabhupada's purport? Yes, Prabhu? Hare Krishna? Volunteer.
I will.
Okay. May I read, Prabhuji?
Yes, anybody who has a good microphone and clearly audible can do voluntarily. Welcome.
You can hear me?
Yes.
So there are six circles of the
movement. The process of giving up.
The process of giving up all material connections and returning home back to Godhead, the Supreme, is recommended herein. The condition is that one should be completely freed from desire for material enjoyment. There are different grades of material enjoyments in respect to duration of life and sensual gratification. The highest plane of sensual enjoyment for the longest period of life is mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita 9.20.
What is that verse? This is Brahma, who lives for so much time. So what is the verse 9.20? Who is reading?
Stuti Priya Radha.
Okay, Stuti Priya. So,
I don't remember the verse.
9.20 verse, anybody can quote 9.20 verse?
Nividyaman Soma Pata Uta Pata Jagner Ishtva Swarga
Jagner Ishtva Swarga Dham Prate Punyama Sadhi Surandra Lokam. Okay. This is those who practice the Karma Kand and go to the heavenly planet and enjoy for a long time. Okay. So this is the one of the happiness which is at the heavenly planet. There are different duration of life and different sensual gratification on different planets from the heaven onward. Okay? Okay, Astuti, go ahead.
All are but material enjoyments, and one should be thoroughly convinced that he has no need of such a long duration of life, even in the Brahma Lok planet. He must return home back to Godhead and must not be attracted by any amount of material facilities. In the Bhagavad Gita 2.59,
so
it is said
what is
that,
that
this thought.
What is that verse? Raso Vardhan
Vishya
Vinivartante Nivartante, right?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay.
It is said that this sort of material detachment is possible to attain when one is acquainted with the Supreme Association of Life, Param Drishtva Nivartate. One cannot be freed from material attraction unless he has complete understanding of the nature of spiritual life. The propaganda of a certain class of imperialists that spiritual life is void of all varieties is dangerous propaganda to mislead the living beings into becoming more and more attracted by material enjoyments.
What is this? What is the propaganda by certain class of impersonalists that the spiritual life is void of varieties? What is the word? Who are these?
Voidism is Shunyavad.
But after voidism, there's a one void of all varieties.
Yes.
What is this actually?
Nirvisheshvadi.
Nirvisheshvadi. These are Nirvisheshvadi, which Prabhupada's pranam mantra, Nirvishesh Shunyavadi. So these are those people, they misguide the people and there's a dangerous propaganda. Because they make people more enjoy here more because there's nothing afterwards. So why should we should just go in a void and without any variety? Here everything is good, so let us enjoy. Okay.
As such,
persons with a poor fund of knowledge cannot have any conception of the Param, the Supreme. They try to stick to the varieties of material enjoyments. Although they may flatter themselves as being Brahman realized souls. Such less intelligent persons cannot have any conception of the Param as mentioned in this verse, and therefore they cannot reach the Supreme. The devotees have full knowledge of the spiritual world, the personality of Godhead, and his transcendental association in unlimited spiritual planets called Vaikuntha Lokas. Herein, Akuntha Drishti is mentioned. Akuntha and Vaikuntha convey the same import, and only one who has his aim fixed upon that spiritual world and personal association with the Godhead can give up his material connections even while living in the material world. This Param and the Param Dham mentioned in several places in the Bhagavad Gita are one and the same thing. One who goes to the Param Dham does not return to the material world. This freedom is not possible even by reaching the topmost loka of the material world. The life air passes through seven openings, namely two eyes, two nostrils, two ears, and one mouth. Generally, it passes through the mouth at the time of an ordinary man's death. But the yogi, as above mentioned, who controls the life air in his own way, generally releases the life air by puncturing the cerebral hole in the head. The yogi therefore blocks up all the above mentioned seven openings so that the life air will naturally burst forth through the cerebral hole. This is the surge sign of a great devotee's leaving the material connection.
So, have you seen some dying person?
Yes.
And normally the air is, from where is air, ultimate air is going?
Yes, it goes through the mouth.
Generally through with the mouth. The worst, if the air goes from the rear orifice, that is considered adhogati. And then there are special rituals for that person actually. So then there is a different rituals for that person. And have you ever seen some cremation of the dead bodies?
Yes, Prabhuji.
And you know the one person has at the end to break the top of the skull, that is called Kapal Kriya. Have you seen that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because they think ultimately this is the place from where air should have gone. So they do Kapal Kriya. Because he was not yogi, he could not do himself. So during the procedure of cremation, the son or the dearest relative, he take a big stick and really make a hole in the top of the head, cerebral. So that is called Kapal Kriya. So this section is for the yogi, I think. That now you can refer to that one chart. You got that chart? Earlier I sent in first chapter one chart. Do you remember?
Yes, Roji.
In that chart you can see the Ashtang yogis, how they are taking two paths. Because our section tomorrow will start, section 5 of the chapter 2. Krama Mukti. Krama means step by step. The path of liberation for an attached yogi. And this will go for up to 32 verse. 22 to 32. 11 verse. So it is like Prabhupada sometimes said, well, my devotees, they have still desire to see the heaven, so they might go. Like in a Brad Bhagavat Amrita, you have seen this, Gop Kumar is going from the heaven to the Brahmalok and then to the Shiva's Lok, Kailash, then going to the Vaikunth. There is sort of Krama Mukti, step by step, because they wanted to see what is on that path. But the other yogis, they don't, are not interested into the step by step, they directly want to go to the spiritual abode. So these are the two paths. Ultimately, Sukhdev Goswami will say, these are the two paths told by Brahma, or to the Brahma, but you have not to think of these two. I am telling you the third path. That will be our class day after tomorrow. On Monday, right? Well, that is actually sadhan bhakti, which is the opinion of Maharaj Sukhdev. Sukhdev Goswami's opinion will start after verse number 33. That is the path one should follow in a devotional mood. So
can
now,
I ask a question?
Yes, now we can have question because we have completed today's quota. But actually next section has some portion from the Bhagavad Gita 8th chapter about different type of leaving the body. Okay. All right. So now we can have some question answers.
I wanted to ask why Shukadeva Goswami is explaining anyway these two paths, if actually the highest is bhakti and Parikshit would like to hear about Krishna, then why does he even mention these two paths? Like, why is that so important?
I think this was the one question which we have on the first or second day. Why there is a description of universal form and of the liberation in Bhagavatam, which is Amal Purana. And we had five reasons given there. I promise I will send you that file. I did not send you, I think. But you remember these five reasons?
Yes, Prabhuji.
These five reasons that why there is a description of the universal form and liberation in Bhagavatam, which is Amal Purana. So those who have five can at least refresh our memory. What is the number one?
This is for Paramhamsa.
Sorry?
This is for Paramhamsa's
only. It is not only for Paramhamsa.
Yeah, it is not only
for Bhagavatam is not only for Paramhamsa. Because then certain verses are quoted that this is for all people to get advantage. So this is number one. Number two?
Different people have different qualifications.
Yeah, different people have different qualifications. All are not qualified for the pure devotional service. So they can advance step by step. Yes. Number three?
Any Mana Mahapurana should have 10 topics.
Because the Bhagavatam is a Mahapurana, there are 10 topics, so one topic is liberation. So it has to be explained, the different type of liberation. Mukti is one of the 10 topics. And creation is a topic. And Virat Roop is within the creation. Yes, number 4.
Proper understanding of these topics leads to purification.
Proper
understanding of these topics means seeing the material creation in relationship to Krishna. That is the proper understanding.
So it will purify our consciousness to advance further.
Yeah, this is what the Virat Roop concept is given.
Yeah, understanding of these subjects will purify our heart. Yes, and number 5.
This understanding of these topics is a prerequisite to understand the higher topics.
So it is a prerequisite for understanding the higher topics. I don't know, I think Rameshwar, somebody has not taken these files from me to be shared with the devotees. I'm not technical man, I'm sorry.
Oh, this is the one I was asking you for.
Huh?
This is the point I was asking you some 2 days before to share.
Okay, so, okay, I understand. So, well, maybe tomorrow is Saturday, I don't think VIC. I'll ask somebody. Yes? Is this a Lokapavani? Lokapavani, you, it is clear?
Yes, thank you. I will. I have told somebody in VIH.
You wrote me that Damodar will come, but nobody came, and I'm.
Yeah. I will inquire, and I will probably. Shakti Mataji went on the way back, maybe she can collect it. Well, I will inquire and I'll arrange.
Basically, she has also some yesterday class. She was busy with the devotion. All the devotees. Anyway, sure. You want this only one file? This is from the some teaching material based on Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur's teaching, because Srila Prabhupada's teaching is available with us as a purport. So this is an addition to this Vishwanatha Chakravarti Pad's purports.
Is it possible to get the Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur files? Things like in PDF, or it's a very nice. Content we are having, Prabhu, but we are it's the same thing, but it's given in different angle of vision. This Vishnu
Thakur. But usually, my experience is the even Bhagavad Gita's purports, Srila Prabhupada's, are more clear when we read the commentary by the Baldev Vidya Bhushan and the Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. And then we read Prabhupada's purport, they become more lively and understandable. Because he has taken from their commentaries, so they are helpful.
So how can we, do you have any access to
it? Well, these books are available. I have this whole file. At least one is a simple file with the only meaning and the some verse summary. And where there was a need of discussion, the discussions are there. And one is the file which we are reading here, which has commentary by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur as well as Srila Prabhupada. This is whole thing together in one setup. This is one in one of the pen drive. I have something in my computer. Okay.
It can be shared in Google Drive.
Yeah, I'll ask them, they can take and share, I have no objection.
Yes,
I am coming to Vrindavan day after tomorrow, so can I take from you?
Oh, yes, if you can share with everybody, but if you are miser and you want to keep yourself, then I will not give you.
No, I will upload on Google Drive and send to everyone.
Okay, then you are Brahman, okay, welcome.
So where I have to come, Prabhuji?
You have to come to my room in room number 7, it's Khan Vrindavan guest house.
Okay, Prabhuji.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Room number 7 A and B. So on one it is written, Dhinamandu Das, the one which has no name, I am that person.
Ji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Any question or comment for them?
Prabhu, today we were discussing the 7 material elements, in that 5 gross elements, and the subtle elements are false ego and the Mahatattva. So we were discussing the same thing in the earlier class also. But when we see the Goloka chart, there we see the subtle ingredients as mind, intelligence, and false ego. But the Mahatattva is, we also consider.
Intelligence is equal to Mahatattva. When you have no Mahatattva, it's like, but if there's intelligence, this means Mahatattva.
Mind also, mind and intelligence, it's a combination.
Mind is mind, but intelligence is Mahatattva. Because we have one verse which says, intelligence of the Lord is Mahatattva.
But
in Bhagavad Gita, if there's no Mahatattva, there's intelligence, it means Mahatattva. In Bhagavad Gita, in one purport, Prabhupada writes, Mahatattva is intelligence. This is Baldev Vidya Bhushan's actually commentary.
But of all this, see, Can I see it in another end? Like mind is in the mode of goodness and intelligence is in the mode of passion.
No.
So,
this is more too much complicated. I am just simply two things. Out of the seven, if there is intelligence, then it is equal to Mahatattva.
But we have eight, Prabhu, coverings.
No, there are seven coverings, they say. When we say eight covering, this is like the Ashtadha, Prakriti Ashtadha. There is the material nature is of eight types in Bhagavad Gita 7th chapter. Bhumaya api anlo vayu khamun buddhi evacha ahankar prakritim ashtadha. That is the meaning. Actually, that is actually explained there. As a material nature has eight type of different differentiated inferior energy.
Prabhu, we have our famous Goloka chart. In that Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Patala up to Brahmaloka, it is there. Then the top coverings have the higher they we go, they have the continuous layers depicted as. So there it is given as eight. That's our famous chart, Prabhu, which we have.
Maybe based on this Brahma Santa or some other scripture. But right now we are saying it says seven coverings here of the universe in the verses of Bhagavatam. But there's nothing wrong if this includes both. They make, say, somebody generally said seven covering. Each one covering is 10 times thicker than the next covering.
But what is it is in our body, it is the same as there in the outside also. What is outside is there inside also.
Yes.
So in that way, mind intelligence false ego is outside, so we also have the mind intelligence false ego.
Okay, there's nothing wrong. All right.
But again, the consciousness also, it's a component of material component. And can we consider as a combined thing of subtle body?
In one
or a separate one?
Yeah, subtle body has a definitely consciousness. In one of these verses, Mahatattva is consciousness. I think in verse number 3 or 4 in this section we have read.
Yeah.
So that is called actually side of material consciousness. That has to be changed to the Krishna consciousness.
But that consciousness is different from the mind intelligence false ego. Separate it.
Yeah, this is number 4. We have subtle body as a 4 parts in some part. Bhagavatam, there are 4 parts, not 3. Yes.
So, Prabhuji, Prabhupada mentioned that statement in the same verse that Prabhuji is referring to, the 7.4, Bhumi Apur Analu Vayu. In the same purport, Prabhupada mentions the statement you just said about intelligence refers to total material creation called Mahatattva.
Yeah, that's there. I know this is the commentary of Baldev Vidya Bhushan. Yeah, it is taken from that commentary, right.
Prabhu, how do you relate to, I'm not confusing, but just for clarification, the mind is a creation and the mode of goodness and the intelligence is in the mode of passion, but
I am not going to read it in detail because this is the subject which you will study as a creation. So creation means false ego and mode of goodness, false ego and mode of ignorance, false ego and mode of passion. So false ego and mode of ignorance give rise to the senses, false like that. False ego and mode of passion give rise to mind, false ego mode of, I don't remember exactly, but that is what. The creation is, there's a process of creation. There's a full charge for that, and I think this is in second, or in your second canto also, but mostly the creation is the subject matter of third canto of Bhagavatam. More detail is in third canto, but the sums, nutshell is in the second canto also.
It's being repeated, the same concepts over second and third canto.
Yeah, because the second canto has a very nutshell, like a second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and then the third canto has an elaborate description of the whole creation. And that should be a separate, I think, they will teach at that time the whole process of creation, how the five senses are getting from the false ego and mode of ignorance, how the mind is coming from, then how the intelligence is coming from, and then the mahatattva, then all these are coming up in the false ego, agitation. This is a whole process of creation.
There should not be any contradictory understandings between our second canto and third canto.
Well, there is always paradox, and there is always a higher understanding, what is called translogical. So there is always a concluding, both has a simultaneously one and different. But both are same more or less, there's no difference. There's no difference as such. No.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Any other person has a question or comment or some question back from this section? Purna Pragya Keshav Das. So you are in Mayapur, you said, no?
Yes, Prabhu. Now I am in Mayapur.
Okay, welcome. So anybody has any question or comment? All are present or? Well, this is the section which we are discussing, which we are not practicing. So it is not really like relishable. We are not doing this six circles of the air and doing this practice at all. Even to remember these names is a headache for us, because this is not our practice. But since we have to know this in order, the people say, what is Sat Chakra? At least we can say these are the Sat Chakra. But don't entangle into these chakra. Think of the Sudarshan Chakra of Sri Krishna and get free from this material world, go back home, back to Godhead. But we have just to understand it, because it's a part of the study.
Prabhuji, when devotee leaves the body, where do they leave it from? From the top of the head or from mouth, or how do they leave?
Usually, Prabhupada said, ordinary now everybody is, the air is going from mouth. Usually
so
their mouth
really
is open, therefore they close all the mouth. You know? Basically, when somebody is dying, the people is there, they want to close everything. They put the cotton and everybody. They think they are helping him to do yoga, that he should go back to God. And they do that. You have seen that they close the mouth, they close the nostril, put the... because this is the consciousness, because of our teaching of all these things in the scripture. But usually it goes from mouth. Mouth is open at that time. But this is a technical. This yogis can only... They break open the top of the head and goes. And this is a weaker place in a child. You know, this is the open, the rectangular, no, not rectangular actually, something like this area at the top of the head where the bones are not united. That is Brahma Rudra actually. There's a side of weak point from where the air should go. Then he's gone back home, back to Godhead. The yogis can do that. They can sit and do like that. It was,
but the thing is, though,
it was people were doing it, but now it is not practical. It is physical, it is mechanical. It needs a practice, but no. Neither we have time, neither is a good teacher, and neither we don't want to waste time either.
Yeah, but Jivatma, we have to purify our consciousness and become, you know, devoted to the Lord. In come out of this tendency to Lord things and Lord material things. Until that purification is done. No matter where we live from, what difference is made?
Yeah, the main thing in this whole process is no material desire. The whole process has only one thing, no material desire. Because this is the section where the yogi has no material desire. Therefore, he is following the direct path of liberation. So, no material desire is actually to be desireless means have a desire to serve Krishna only.
Prabhuji,
I have a lot of deaths. There too, as a doctor only.
For the ICU, but I don't
understand. Usually the mouth is open, and last time they breathe like, usually their mouth is open. But sometimes, they have a still a ritual called 52 Kriya, Bhavan Kriya say Vedas for the one who's ultimately air passes through the rear end in front of instead of mouth. that is called adogati. There it happens also. So anyway, this is whole the system of pranayama, which is not subject matter of devotees in Krishna conscious, generally speaking. Because the purpose of pranayama is to control mind, and the devotees are controlling mind by always thinking of Krishna, the lotus feet of Krishna. So there is an alternative method we have, so we are very happy. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Know all these things, but we know we won't practice that. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Bhaji.
Yes.
Bhaji, I did not understand this point. When we, because the mind is the vibhuti of Krishna, when it is engaged for the purpose of Krishna, it is possible that it will be controlled by the by Krishna. But how the yogi who is controlling the air in like up and down from the different chakras, how mechanically it controls, how he controls his mind with this way? I'm not understanding how the mechanical forces can help to control the mind.
Well, but this is the whole process of pranayama, is to focus the mind on each chakra and then go with along with the chakra. So he has not to engage the mind on the senses and sense on the sense object. He has to focus the mind on the chakra, Mooladhara chakra. Now my air is coming up. It is coming up to the Hriday chakra, Anahad chakra. It is coming now to the Vishuddha chakra. So he focus on the air. So this is, I think, which is not accepted in a Bhagavata school. Yesterday we discussed first type of yogi who is only focusing on the pranayama and mind. That is not actually Bhagavata school, but he is focusing on the pranayama mind to meditate on the super soul. That is accepted. Well, this is a technique, this is a mechanism. Like, well, you can say so many physical exercises people learn. There's so many physical exercises we learn. So this is also a sort of physical exercise that the yogi learn. It's a mechanical way of physical exercise they learn for the spiritual purpose. That's what Srila Prabhupada has put the words.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, I can just try to add something. So coming.
Yes.
The reason is before coming to ISKCON, I was like, I read quite a few of these Mayavadi books of another spiritual organization. So what I have read in these books, like about pranayam, so what they say is, like, again, as Prabhuji has rightly mentioned, it's a sort of a mechanical process. So what they say is, like let's say very commonsensically, anytime you are tensed, what happens to you? Usually your breath becomes short, right? You know, when you're tensed, you are stressed, you notice your breath. So they say, like when you become tensed, that's how your breath happens. So that the reverse mechanism also happens. So just like, you know, if you make your breath more smooth, like no matter where you are sitting, if you are in a stressed up situation, if you take some 4-5 minutes off and you do some pranayama, you will feel de-stressed. So just like your mind controls breath, so there's a connection between mind and breath. So like that, when you breathe in this rhythmic fashion, you can control your, like, you know, from a mind and your emotions, you can control. And the further thing about mind control, what they say is that, and which is like in many places in research also, that the average human being uses like 10% of our brains, of our mind, to be actually used.
Right.
We are 90% of our brains we don't use. And the reason for that is because the bottleneck is not in the brain. The bottleneck is actually in the spinal cord. So the yogis call it as Ida and Pingala. So they are these two neurons which transmit all over the body, and between the id and the pingala is a hollow cavity which is called as sukshma. So what the yogis are trying to do is they try to open up their sukshma. So it is via this wireless communication, as you would say, the
kundali,
the brain interacts with the rest of the body, so they are able to do more.
Is this kundali jagran?
Exactly. So that's the kundali jagran process. So that's what the mechanical process is. So that's why the yogis get
the basic concept of their various siddhis is what they say is because you can then use a, say, 90% or 100% of your brains, which most of us cannot use. Though our mind has got a lot of power, but we are only using 10%. So that's in a nutshell what I've heard mechanically reading from their books.
In a medical science, we know that we use only 10% neurons of the spinal cord. 90% are unused. If we use at least 30-40%, then we can do something very extraordinary. In the medical science, we know this. Like I'm like an old man, I may not be able to walk, but if somebody says that there's a bomb here, I can run. It means I have that potential which I am not tapping in. So yogis are tapping in the potential of the mechanical brain and spinal cord and making the more use of that. And there is a glory of the bygone days that yogis were perfect. But now there's no time, and because of Kali Yuga, and there's no place, and there's no training and no trainer. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has brought for us the very simple process, chanting Hare Krishna and perfecting and getting the same result which the yogis were getting, but getting more than that, the sweetness of the Supreme Lord. So it's okay, welcome. Okay, thank you, Prabhus. See you tomorrow, Hare Krishna, with a Krama Mukti. Krama Mukti means step by step. It's like a playboy going from one to the other mall and then going ultimately for the liberation. So this is another method. So you refer tomorrow to your that chart of a Virat Roop meditation chart. So they go first to the one planet, then to the other planet, then to the other planet, and then they gradually go up. So just refer to that, that will be easy. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki jai. Gaur Bhakt Vind ki jai.
Gauranga,
Gauranga.